going on? What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Vunganyi right here in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We love to have you on board. This is Upfront on The Voice of America.
Welcome, welcome. Well, at The Voice of America News, yeah, presenting, you know, it's Upfront show, blazing up the place. Reaching out to you from out of The Voice of America News. Yeah, Wally Money Wally Selassie, yeah, Rastafari.
In many schools across Africa, disciplinary action often comes in form of corporal punishment. Teachers do not hesitate to use the cane, slaps and whips to maintain discipline in class. Students who underperform in class are also punished as a way to scare them into performing better on the next exam. In an education system where a lot of attention is paid to performance in standardized tests, a student who falls behind a certain grade will most likely be punished by whipping or beating or slapping by the teachers. Now, of late, there has been some debates on how effective corporal punishment is in helping students improve on discipline and academics. In some parts of Africa, laws have been passed to make it illegal to beat students, but it still persists, and we continue to see cases where students are severely injured both physically and emotionally by the beatings. Some teachers and parents continue to support corporal punishment. They say that this is the only way that discipline can be maintained and academics improved in schools. Others disagree. In fact, they say that such punishment is ineffective and also violates international child laws. So what is your take on this? Should beating or corporal punishment be banned in schools? Does your school punish students by beating them when they commit an infraction or do not do well in school? Let's talk. This is Upfront on The Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi in Washington with Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa.
In Africa generally, when you are young, the best way to bring you up is to through certain trainings, either from your aunties or your uncles or your mother or your father, about specific roles of being a man and being a woman in the future. So when you do something wrong, the best correction actually is to at least give you some stroke. Yes, of course. I when I was in primary school, I had to go through so many of this. One is that sometimes you go to school very late, sometimes you don't abide by the school rules and regulations, and the best way to correct you up is to give you some few canes.
Find a way how to correct them. Apart from inflicting physical injury to make them understand that what they are doing is wrong, you can correct them by probably instilling maybe something else, maybe information that can correct them and help them understand that what they're doing is wrong and they should do things differently. You will hate the person punishing you. It doesn't matter whether you are wrong or not. You see, that is another problem. Because there are some teachers I hate. I used to hate them, of course not now, but I used to hate them because the punishment, they would punish you and you think you're not wrong, but you see them, they feel you're wrong. But because they don't find a way to communicate it, they want to inflict that physical injury or pain so that to make you understand. Of course, you'll understand, but sometimes you don't even want to do the right thing anyway because you are annoyed as well. So it doesn't work that much. Yeah, it doesn't work.
My number, Europa. once a teacher beating a student, that student will be afraid when the teacher enters the class. Instead of concentrating on what he or she is teaching, he or she will be like, oh, this teacher beats me every day. So he or she won't concentrate on what he or she is teaching.
Beating in school is an effective disciplinary measure because there are some students who are naughty. But once you have corrected a child and the child has changed, the beating should stop. But when the child has refused to change, then it should continue.
I don't think that's the best way. If you talk to somebody and if you talk to that person in a wise way, I think that person is going to be able to hear you out and then maybe stop those kind of things that they do.
No, I've never been beaten at school because when the teacher says something, I used to listen.
Yeah, I remember this other time when I was in secondary school. I think I was making a lot of noise in class and I was beaten by the teacher, but I didn't support it. I think teachers are not supposed to beat the children because their job is to teach them and not to beat them.
I'm not satisfied now because you can see that several things have changed in the education system. There was at one point in time beating was allowed, teachers could beat, but now the education system doesn't allow this, so it has given much freedom to students and so on. I don't like it. I wish to were back in the days when their system allowed indeed beating of students, but now with so many laws, with the democracy, a lot of things have changed, and we have seen that there's so much indiscipline among our students.
Yeah, I remember this other time when I was in secondary school. I think I was making a lot of noise in class and I was beaten by the teacher. I didn't support it because I think it was on my side that I didn't support it. I think teachers are not supposed to beat the children because their job is to teach them and not to beat them.
We know that corporal punishment is used in schools around the continent for a number of reasons. Most commonly it's to instill discipline or to punish students for alleged wrongdoing, whatever the case may be. But we've certainly heard reports of young children receiving corporal punishment, canings, beatings, etc., for coming to school late, missing school without permission, having dirty or torn school uniforms, not doing homework, disobeying teachers' demands, etc., etc., etc. These are just some of the reasons. And a lot of these reasons are things that most students would come across in their everyday lives. You might be late or you might have missed your doing your homework for a valid reason. These are things that happen in schools every day, and we need to discuss what are the correct punishments then to be handed out. Certainly, we can't say that bringing out the whip will always be the best way.
The argument among the perpetrators of the punishments is that if you beat students, they will perform or they will understand it better and they will know better next time. Others disagree and say that this form of education, quote-unquote, damages a student's prospects of being a well-formed adult. It also interferes with the child's right to receive an education and to be protected from violence. Kristen Okori is a Nigerian-American whose parents are immigrants from Nigeria. She went to school in suburban Washington and was never at the receiving end of any type of corporal punishment, either at school or at home.
So usually the teachers would give the students about 2 to 3 warnings, and then kind of depending on the offense, if you have it, they would either kind of not let them go out to recess or they'd have extra homework.
Extra homework was punishment.
They'd be sent to the principal's office, and then the teachers would be called into conferences. So that's kind of like the level of escalation.
Okay.
Sometimes they'd
be... So there was if you did the first time, second time offense, third time offense, things.
So usually there was like warnings, and then if you kind of didn't pay attention to the warnings, then start with like no recess, more homework.
Now, did that work?
I mean, it worked for me. I was always afraid of getting in trouble.
Really?
But, like, for other kids, I mean, it kind of just depends. I mean, you always have those problem kids in class that really just, like, don't care and act out. But I feel like a lot of it is just kind of, like, what's being taught and just having, on the part of teachers, making sure that their content is interesting to everybody and, like, can keep everyone.
So there was the option of being whipped by a teacher or any school administrator for any infractions.
Oh, no, that would never happen.
Was not part of it.
No, not at all. Not
were
a
you raised up to understand that that wasn't part of the option? Was there fear at any point that I will overplay my hand and that teacher might smack me or beat me?
No, I mean, there'd be legal repercussions to the school if that ever happened to students.
And as a student, you knew that?
I mean, I knew that that wasn't the protocol. So, I mean, because that never happened. And so if it did happen, like, run home and tell mom and dad and then...
Now, your parents at home didn't spank you at all?
No, I was always good.
Really? Come on now. I mean, your parents, I guess, a different approach
yeah,
to,
it was,
to
I,
discipline
actually,
or
it,
different attitude to
I think because that they went through that, I feel like they did not want to have the same approach to disciplining their children as they went through when they were young. So, like, with me and my brothers, it never was spankings. At least for me, like, they never kind of went that route. They usually just tell me to do something, and then I...
You were just a good kid.
Yeah, basically.
How good, every kid has a rebellious side to them. How were you able to maintain that and get away with it?
I mean, what they don't know can't hurt them, right?
I see. You were just too smart to be caught doing it. Gotcha. Do you feel like that upbringing shaped you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it did. I mean, I was always kind of like respectful
towards...
At least
positively influenced.
Yeah, I mean, I think it did. I think I kind of recognize now like what I see, at least in like the younger generations, that, I mean, I feel like there's not as much kind of respect for elders and like respect for parents and teachers as there were in prior generations, which is a bit alarming. But for me, it kind of was like, I feel like I grew up with those values of, you know, respecting those that are older than you. But it's kind of unsettling that there isn't that much.
What is interesting is that you say that in this generation, kids are not as respectful of their elders or are less disciplined than you were. Yet mm-hmm. you both were raised in the same system. Well, what's the difference between you and them?
Okay, I guess let me clarify. I noticed kind of with immigrant families, I feel like that's not as much of an issue just because you have that culture of kind of respecting those that are older than you. I mean, you call everyone that's older than you, even if it's an older cousin, your uncle, your auntie or whatever. But I feel like kind of in the mainstream population, those values aren't necessarily as inherent. And I'm not sure if it's necessarily due to the lack of corporal punishment as it is just to kind of the emphasis placed on like
parenting.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like it's just kind of your parenting style and matching that to the personalities that your children develop as they grow up. Because, I mean, some kids are going to need to be slapped around for them to really understand what's going on and to actually change their behavior. But other kids, you know, you don't necessarily have to go that route. Oh, red wine.
Nadia, what is the policy on corporal punishment in South Africa? Were you beaten as a young high school student?
While corporal punishment is illegal in South Africa, Jackson, teachers do not have a mandate to beat children. It is against the law. There have been many cases where students have raised the alarm. Just recently, we've had an incident in South Africa where amateur footage, cell phone footage actually, has come to light, where students were beaten on the school ground by the principal and accompanied by the school security guards. In the background somewhere, a fellow student was actually recording the beating. This has caused a huge uproar in the country. It is against the law. Similarly with parents as well, parents are not allowed, in terms of the law, to beat their children. The problem is that in some of the cases we've seen in South Africa, it's still being done, even though it's not supposed to be done, it is still being done. And it's not just light beatings that we are seeing, Jackson. It's beatings where young people are sustaining serious injuries. We've seen bruising to the face, to the body. And there's been a big outcry. Human rights bodies are saying we need to step up the watch against this. But on the other hand now, teachers are saying the situations in school are becoming increasingly hard to deal with, and that ranges from rebellious behavior from students in the school. This has been an issue that's been in our local news a lot recently, and we've certainly had arguments from both sides. There are a lot of traditionalists who say, well, in the past, young people were beaten, and they've turned out quite all right. It was a means of instilling discipline. But I think the worrying factor is that in some of the incidences we're seeing now, it goes beyond instilling discipline, but it's actually injuring children in such a way that it might turn them off education, that it turns them away from school, that they don't want to come back into the classroom, they don't want to face teachers because they're living in fear. And certainly that's not the type of environment that we want to have in our schools anywhere around the country.
I'm blind to you, haters. Can't touch me, war instigators. Miss everybody's love lately. Ask you how the world I run so. Said I'm blind to you, haters. Can't touch me, rumor creators. Miss everybody's love lately. Hey, ask you how the world I run so. When things up above, them a smile and a laugh. Them would the love me see you fall by the wayside. Them all a dig up your past, pray for your downfall fast. Them trigger mode from blast like them nana pride.
Blessed love to the youth them.
When the coach them better, fin nothing no way.
Send no message to the youth them. Send no message to the youth them.
Praise the Almighty, don't go astray. Set them blind to you.
Yeah, I'm Alex Omodi. In Africa generally, most of the colonial people, they say Africans learn better by being beaten or whatever. And also, the aspect is that it is already in our belief that when you want to correct somebody, for that person to feel that he has done something, he also has done something wrong, you have to pinch a bit.
David Lucan from South Sudan. The culture of beating children and child's rights that people are advocating for. If you get to look in the context about our culture, African culture, I'm quite sure the beating is not like when the people beating your child to death, you know?
So my name is Evans Maende. I'm the executive director of South Sudan Artists Association. What I can say about child punishment, especially in school for that matter. Of course, at home also there's that it happens. And more so in African cultures. That is where I think they spare the rod and spoil the child came from. I'm not so sure, but that is what I think. It came from Africa or something like that.
Yo, 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 yo. You are listening to Upfront on The Voice of America. You hear me? With Jason Rugani and Mari Sammy.
Judas, Judah, Judas, Judah, Judas, Judah, Judas, Gaga.
This one goes both ways. It depends how you bring up a child. I'm a father. I have two kids. They are 2 and 4 years. Sometimes I have to quarrel with them and, you know, make them understand that what they are doing is not right. But I think also, even if you don't have to beat a child for them to know if something is wrong, you can talk to them. And you see, if you talk to them politely, it even goes far more than correcting them, like than beating them. Because you see, if you beat them, you instill fear. You know, and fear is not good, especially if a child grows up fearing somebody or something that much. They've developed some kind of psychological problem. So I think this issue of punishment, punishing children, is something which actually should be abolished.
Spanking is actually part of the bringing up of the child, you know? It depends on the, you know, the context and the culture.
Excuse me, ma'am. When I get back out here, make sure the... is up front. Yeah. Say, baby, what's your name?
Nadia, some have argued that corporal punishment is not limited to schools and that in fact it's an extension of the type of disciplinary action that many African parents exercise at home with their children. When a child misbehaves, they get slapped or beaten by anybody. Actually, a family member has the right to discipline them. So are teachers only doing what is generally acceptable form of disciplinary action in an African home? So my colleague Henok Fente, we were recounting our experiences in high school. He went to school in Ethiopia. I went to school in East Africa. We are both recipients of corporal punishment. Henok agrees with me that this is an extension of the type of disciplinary action or activity that many African parents exercise in their homes. And so in school, it becomes a norm.
Beating was part of the regular school life. It starts at the flag hoisting ceremony in the morning where we sing the national anthem. And right after the national anthem is when they call the bad boys of the entire school.
That was like a morning ritual every day.
It's a morning ritual. So
who has compiled the list? Who compiles the
Ababa Alamu. You know, we have homeroom teachers who basically have our attendance. They know our grades and everything. They have an understanding of where everybody is in terms of behavior. And, you know, at the end of the year, they also give you grades for that.
Right.
So they keep a tab on you, pretty much. And when that tab is full, then you would be called out in the morning flag hoisting ceremony. And Ababa Alamu, come here. And his crime would be read. He stole a carrot from the school agriculture project where the student actually worked himself. And he would be beat right in front of us. But so he would be sentenced to whipping, like 10 whipping, 15 whipping.
I find something very disturbing with these public whipping ceremonies. I feel like it's something ceremonial and you know, like some teachers are enjoying this. Like teachers enjoy this.
They
thing,
enjoy
right?
it. And here's the thing, though. The students who are about to get that whipping, they understand it. So you put on 3 or 4 pants.
Yes, we used to do that too.
And you put like a winter jacket on in anticipation of that. So actually the teachers, especially there's a unit leader from the teachers. There's a unit leader for that, for the entire school, 1 or 2 unit leaders.
Who's like the chief?
They are the
punisher?
Chief punishers.
The chief whip, so to say.
And yes, yeah, so they would try it at first, and if it doesn't give a sound that they're expecting, if it goes like poof, and
it's not like the way you react to the hurt,
then you'd be asked to get your jacket off, take your pants, and you get real whipped.
And they've gotten creative over time. I mean, I don't know how bad it is right now, but I find that school administrators have gotten very creative. I know in our high school, we had a person whose job was to go and collect whips from the forest. Did you have that person with the
yes.
title?
We have monitors, class monitors. And usually the class monitors, especially when I was in elementary school, are older guys. You know, these kids did some farming or herding. So they're like 15 when they're in first grade. Mm. So they would be the monitors of the class. And actually, in fact, a lot of the whipping comes from the monitors. They will just tell you, sit down straight. And if you don't sit down straight and don't say anything, if the teacher is not there, it's the monitor who's in charge. And they have every right.
They have absolute powers. Yes. Absolute powers over you.
And they would be the ones to go to the forest and collect whips for the homeroom teacher and the teachers as well. But the problem is, you know, these things don't last long. They're not plastics. You said they're really creative about it. Is if you, in fact, use it, it's going to break after whipping 2-3 students.
Right.
They want it to last.
Durability.
So what they do,
durability was something they were striving for.
Exactly. So some of these, older country boys, they have a way of making these things durable. So what they do is they smoke it. So you put it under a chimney for 2 weeks. So when you whip a child, it's flexible enough that it's not going to break. And one of my second grade classmates Salomon Bazey. Mm. I remember his name. He had 61 whipping on the left hand. And he stopped crying at some point, and he just, you know,
that's just horrible.
It's cruel.
So I guess, you know, in the most bizarre way, that's their way of fighting deforestation, you know, preserve the whip, but inflict as much pain on
in high school. Though the school had a budget for a whip, an actual whip, you know, the ones that they used during slavery to whip. We had a budget for that. To get something, somebody goes to the market to buy that. The unit leader carries one. All the security guards in front of the school carry one. So they would be like whipping students as they go into high school class.
Right, left and
center. High school class.
Right. There was a bit of enjoyment here by the people who had that whip.
I mean, for them, it's a way of disciplining students, really. For me, it's really cruel. And it's reciprocated. The monitor in the class does exactly the same thing that the teachers do. And even some of your classmates amongst one another, we become, you know, violent. Beating someone is okay. It's justified. You can beat someone. You can bully someone, whatever you want. Because, you know, violence in a way as
it's
a disciplinary measure
is
promoted
measure,
right after singing the national anthem.
How effective was this, though, as a disciplinary measure? How effective?
I'll tell you what. It can be effective for some, but mainly if you look at it, a lot of students, in fact, when they are in high school, they started rioting and saying, well, if the teacher wants to beat me, I'll beat you because now I'm old enough to beat you. So that was the reaction that most of the teachers were getting. But I think teachers in elementary schools can get away with it because the children are not physically, mature enough to challenge them and saying, why are you beating me?
Right.
So you just take the beating and hope that more of them are not coming. It's sad, you know, it doesn't help students learn better. It doesn't help students behave better. But,
as a
community,
it promotes violence in society. That's what it does.
Yes, and it's community-based,
not just the
teachers.
People feel like they can solve their problems by just, like, you know, shooting at each other or beating at each other. I mean, I guess shooting is the extended version of beating. All right, Henok Fente, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Jackson.
Nadia, when a child is in school, a teacher is expected to act as a substitute parent. So one should treat the students as if they were their own. In many cases, the students, when beaten, don't feel that way.
Absolutely, Jackson. I mean, you would hope that you raise your child and instill the necessary respect for your elders and respect really for the classroom and the school and your fellow learners. And so it is frustrating for teachers as well, where we see teachers are teaching overcrowded classes where they've got sometimes 100 or more students to a classroom. And all it really takes is a small pocket to disrupt learning for the whole day. I mean, there are extreme frustrations on both sides. But surely there's a line between instilling discipline and punishing in a non-physical way, to flooring a child where blood is spilled. Surely that's not acceptable. Surely that's against human rights. And certainly it has an impact on education, really.
This is Jackson Kenny in Washington, D.C. and Nadia Sammy with Upfront of Voice of America.
Thanks for hanging out with us today, guys. We always love having you on board and we love to hear from you. So keep those comments coming in to upfront@voanews.com. It was awesome hanging out. We'll be here same time, same place next week. I'm Nadia Sami signing off from South Africa.
And I'm Jackson Vunganyi in Washington.
Until next time, goodbye.